Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati coming to you on a Wednesday here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. As usual, broadcast here in Boston on 98.5 The Sports Hub on your FM dial. We simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. That's on the TV side. Catch us anytime on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Great product right there. Just download it. The stream comes right up. You can get all of our replays on that as well. Also on the website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Maz alongside in the Maz chair, Big Jim Murray in our update studio. We're going to be almost all football today. I said almost. I do have a quick thought on the Red Sox at some point, but otherwise we'll be all football. And also importantly, we'll be giving away Patriots tickets today. Patriots tickets, Maz. Yeah, we're going to do something a little different, though.
Yeah, I want the tickets.
Just a little different.
Call it 20 instead of 10?
Well, no. So I think we've made it too easy on the callers.
Call it 25.
By just saying caller 25 or caller 8 or caller 6 or caller whatever.
Yeah, we doing trivia.
Well, they don't want us doing straight trivia. Okay, so which is fine. I don't want to steal the thunder of Trivia Tuesdays, which I, you know, is a monster in and of itself. So I don't want to take any steam or any starch away from that. But we are going to give tickets away at 4:30. And what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to give you a hint or a code word or what's exactly that? I don't want to.
The falcon flies at noon.
Something like that.
Name the goat.
Something like that. It'll be a question.
Hi, I'm here to see Rita.
That you have to answer. And I will give you the answer between now and then. You get what I'm saying? So it's not trivia per se, but I'm going to tell you that when you call for the tickets, I'm going to put you on the air and you've got to answer back the question for me. And you'll have the answer in the next 2 hours.
Excuse me, sir. Do you happen to have an umbrella?
This is what I'm saying. It forces, if you want the tickets, you have to listen. Even during the commercial breaks, because I'm not telling you when it's coming. Okay? Does that make sense, Mass?
Yeah, no, you got to pay attention.
You have to pay attention. Because we're not just going to pick up the caller and say the tickets are yours.
You got that, Zoe?
We're going to bring you on the air and ask you the question, then you have to answer it. All right? So that's the deal. You can't leave your radio.
Listen for the phrase that pays.
Yeah, that's what it is. Phrase that pays.
Pardon me, sir. Would you happen to have change for a 20?
In the meantime, I want to talk about the Steelers today. I want to do a lot of Steelers talk. Because I'm having a hard time. I wonder if I disrespect the Steelers. How should I view Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, and the Pittsburgh Steelers of the modern era? How should I view that team? Because I don't have a lot of respect for them, but should I? Am I being disrespectful to what they've done here over the recent history?
You have no respect for them. So here's how I look at the Steelers, you know, particularly this you know, incarnation of them with Tomlin and with Roethlisberger, is that good. They've had a good run. It should have been great. They should have won another one here in the last few years. I don't know which year you want to talk about. I'd have to go back and look at the particulars as to like which year they had the most talent and the best team. But they had for a period of time there, you know, that golden trio that Dallas sort of invented with Aikman and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin, and then Indianapolis had one there for what? They had it. Pittsburgh had it. They had the quarterback, the receiver, and the running back. They had it all, offensively anyway. And I feel like there were years in there where they kind of, you know, they blew up internally. They just self-destructed. And there should have been another title somewhere in there. Ben Roethlisberger should have 3 championships.
Yeah, he's ultimately, and they have ultimately underachieved in this era. They should have another Super Bowl win. Thankfully, they don't because they're their most hated team in all of sports. They probably left one on the table in 2010. You can make that argument, although the Packers were ridiculous on that run. They get pantsed in 2011 by Suckbag Tebow, of all guys. And what since then? 2016 was the closest that they got. They get to the AFC Championship game, and they play the Patriots here, and they were in it for all of 5 minutes. So, yeah, I think that they've underachieved. I look at them as a formidable opponent. Again, I hate them more than any team in sports, but they've underachieved.
Have they have the Steelers underachieved in this era? Billy, you may release the hounds, please. How should I view Roethlisberger? How should I view Tomlin? Are the Steelers as an organization, recent vintage, underachievers? 617-779-0985. I don't think they've underachieved. You know what? I don't think they've underachieved.
I do.
And I'll tell you why. I don't think Tomlin's any good. And I don't think Roethlisberger's that good.
Oh, you're crazy on the latter, and I hate him.
I don't think I've never felt he was that good. And never. From his rookie year. I've never felt he was accurate enough or consistent enough or steady enough. And in the latter parts of his career, he went to crap. Meaning physically, he put on too much weight. He's not in good shape. I don't feel like he puts a lot into it. And so I've never, even in his prime, when he was in shape, allegedly, I wasn't a big Roethlisberger guy. I've never been a big Mike Tomlin guy.
See, but the fact that you're saying that...
The fact that they have won a championship, went to another Super Bowl, and I'm not counting the Cowher years, and I could, because Roethlisberger won one with Cowher. So the fact that, well, maybe I will just do that. Roethlisberger has won two championships. He's been to three Super Bowls. And I don't think he's that good. And I don't think either of his coaches are that good. So you know what? If anything, I think they might have overachieved a little bit. Honestly, I don't think they're that good. So how could I say they've underachieved if I look at Mike Tomlin and I have a hard time putting him in the top 12 of coaches in the NFL? How do I say that they've underachieved if I look at Ben Roethlisberger and say he's never been, in my mind, up in that upper echelon? And I don't care what his effing numbers are and his fantasy points are.
I'm not talking about the numbers with him either, Mike, but I just think he's that guy's a killer. Inconsistent, yes, prone to a bad pick, but that guy on like fourth and gotta have it can make that throw and kill you.
I've never felt that way. I've never felt that he's someone that,
He's done it in big games.
I've never feared him. When I'm going against the Steelers, that means like a Patriots game, a Packers game, or I've got the Steelers against me, in my mind's eye, I sort of worry about explosiveness, their defense when it was good, their defense behind a big crowd when the blitz gets going back in sort of the previous carnation. I've never gone into a big Steelers game and said, oh, Roethlisberger scares me. I've never felt that way with him. And I always look at the coach and go, he can be had.
Yeah, I think you're confusing the Steelers at the end, though, with what they should be. Like, when you say Roethlisberger get fat and out of shape, well, that doesn't mean he wasn't good. Like, I look at that and I say, that's the problem.
I've always felt he's overrated.
That's why I feel they've underachieved, because he stopped caring. I mean, some of the teams they've had here in recent years, you're telling me they shouldn't have squeaked out one more Super Bowl?
Have they ever been better than the Patriots?
Well, but nobody's better than the Patriots.
Well, some years they are. Some years teams are. Tell me what year the Steelers were better than the Patriots and should have won. Okay, 2005, they won.
How about 2017?
2008, they won. 2017, refresh my memory. Was that the year the Steelers lost? That's not the year they lost to Tebow.
No, 2011 is the year that they lost to Tebow.
Okay.
And they had to go to Denver that wild card game.
So were the Steelers better than even the Broncos that year? Were they better than you that year? Were they beating the Giants? I don't know. Tell me what year they were the best team and should have won and didn't.
I mean, 2017, I'll look it up. They were 12-3 with Roethlisberger as the starter.
What happened to them in the playoffs that year?
Okay, I'm trying to find out.
Okay. So, I mean, if you give me one, I'll say it's true. But I'm just, in my mind's eye, I'm not sitting here saying, there's some other teams I think who have underachieved. And I look at Aaron Rodgers and say, you got one championship? That's not enough?
Yeah, I agree there.
You're better than that. Drew Brees and Sean Payton supposed to be this, you've got one trip to the Super Bowl?
They lost to Jacksonville in the playoffs at home.
That's a gag.
Yeah.
That's a gag.
They gave up 45 points. That was the year they lost to the Jags, and then the Jags came to Foxborough. Otherwise, the Patriots, if I remember right, were going to Pittsburgh.
Okay, you can make the case that year. That's a fair point.
They were 13-3. That team gagged.
How can I say that they're underachievers when I don't believe in the coach and I've always thought the quarterback's overrated?
So do you put them on par with like the Jets of this last 10 to 15 years?
No, but I look at them and I go, that's what, you know what? They've won what they should have won. They're a nice regular season team. Do you know that since Mike Tomlin took over the Steelers in 07, the Steelers have the second best winning percentage in all of football next to you? And it's a big gap. I mean, it's unbelievable. Your winning percentage since 07 is 781. Theirs is 654, but they're second. So I look at the second best team, you know, and I don't think the quarterback's that great, and I think the coach blows. So how do they get to the second best record in football unless I think they've kind of overachieved? Really?
No, please. You're not getting overachievement out of me.
Because you know what? I don't care about running backs. So they had Le'Veon Bell. Neat. What does that mean? And they had a pain in the balls, really good outside receiver. I mean, I'm not into teams. I believe fully in quarterbacks. I believe fully in defenses. I believe fully in coaching. Okay, that to me is the big three of NFL football. Quarterback, defense, coach. Running backs, flashy outside receivers, they don't do anything for me. So that's what, because I think you can win without them. It's hard to win without a quarterback. It's hard to win without a defense. It's hard to win without a coach. You can do it, but it's really hard. Those other things, teams win every year without a star running back. Teams win every year without a flashy outside number one receiver. So they had Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Big deal. And I look at the quarterback, overrated. I look at the coach, bozo. So how could I say they've underachieved? I think they've overachieved a little bit. To be the second most winningest team? Wow.
I think they're typically solid in all three areas. And I'm not the biggest believer in Mike Tomlin, believe me. I don't think you're giving Roethlisberger enough credit. And I don't know. I've always looked at them as one of the more solid teams in the AFC that's not the Patriots. Like, they're pretty much a problem year in, year out. The thing that's...
For you?
No, I think...
See, but you're putting the Patriot factor up there.
Yeah.
You know, look, the Patriots have owned them.
Well, so look.
So that you're looking at it through the Patriots' eyes. I'm looking at it through the scope of the league.
But at least.
And so to me, the whole thing is, and by the way, I was wrong about 2017. The Steelers would have come here because the Patriots beat them in the regular season.
We got blown out by 27 points.
Yeah, no, it was 27-24, and that was the Jesse James game where they called back the touchdown at the goal line, if you remember. So, like, I don't know. To me, that year they were pretty good, and they should have won another title. Somewhere in there, they should have won another championship.
Yeah, and I think it would have been an overachievement.
But I just feel
to do with a bad coach and an overrated quarterback.
And in recent years, maybe then this benefits what you're saying, Mike. And like the last 3 or 4 years, they're good for like one or two games that you're like, how did you lose that? Last year, they lost to Oakland.
They've always been that team.
Like Tampa a couple of years ago at home.
Start running their mouths, get ahead of themselves, and the next thing you know, someone punches them in the mouth. It's happened for years, my whole adult lifetime, going back to Bill Cowher.
I mean, the reason you don't respect them, I'm not telling you wrong for it, is that they've never gone through the Patriots to win.
So you just said make it at least. So I'll look at a team like the Ravens and I'll say they've made it hard on you. You know, you had to empty the bucket in that divisional game in 2014 to get past them. They came here and won an AFC championship game. They came here and should have won another AFC championship game. But the kicker shanks it and the, you know, Lee Evans drops it in the, you know, the Ravens over the years came here and at least made it hard on you. They challenged you. The Steelers?
Oh, that AFC Championship game a few years ago, 2016, was a joke.
Oh, come on.
Now, you want to talk about the coach. I think that that's where it relates to the coach.
Am I disrespecting the coach to say he's not in my top 10? So let's pick that up. Am I disrespecting the Steelers, or is that deserved cynicism towards the Steelers? I don't think they've underachieved because I don't think they're all that good. So the fact that they got the second most wins since 07, since, you know, that Roethlisberger's got two, I think that's just about right, if not a little high. For that guy. So, your thoughts right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
You know, obviously, if you're talking about New England, it starts with Tom Brady, their guy under center. I don't know what I can say about him that hadn't already been said. Got a lot of respect for him as a competitor, as a tactician, as a guy that operates. His arm strength and accuracy is exceptional. His above-the-net game is kind of exemplifies a guy that's probably been on his job for 20 years, you know? He is very difficult to trick, and even if you do, it won't happen over the extended period of time or over the course of a football game. That's just life when you're competing against a guy like him.
Tomlin has routinely got his ass handed to him by Tom Brady. What is it? 2-8 against Brady career? I think Tomlin's got 3 wins against the Patriots, but one was against Castle. That's right. So he's only beaten Brady twice, and just never in Foxborough. I was going to say, has it ever been close in Foxborough? It's not. It's never really been close in Foxborough.
Opener in 15 was a close game, if I recall.
7 points. So that was a 7-point ball game. That's as close as they've gotten.
Pittsburgh should have won that game, for crying out loud. That was the one where Darius Heyward-Bey caught a touchdown while out of bounds. Remember that?
Yep. So 0-6 career at Foxborough. Here are the scores. The 2016 AFC Championship game, 36-17. That 15 kickoff game, 28-21. That's as close as they've gotten. 2013, they lost 55-31. In 08, 33-10. Oh, that's the one they won, 33-10, so they're 0-5. 2007, it was 34-13. They've never been close. And I look at other teams, and you've gotten the better of every team. But I look at the Ravens and say, they got you a couple times.
So that one's the coach.
And a couple ones that mattered. Coughlin's gotten you a couple times in games that mattered and regular season games. And I'd tip my cap to him, even though, you know, your track record's much better than him. And I've looked at some other teams, even this last Packers team was so bad, then they were done. But in 2014, you went to Green Bay and lost a head-to-head, toe-to-toe, great football game in like Rodgers battle. And I don't know, I've never felt that with Roethlisberger and the Steelers. I feel like every time you get into a game with them, even when they're favored and they're rolling, you smush them. And they're just not a match for you. So maybe that's why I don't respect them.
Okay, so again, this is where I sort of separate it. You say, if the Steelers overachieved or underachieved, I'd say under. You tell me the coach? I think the coach is the problem. It's not the talent. And Roethlisberger got fat and stopped caring. So, but the coach is inept. I have very, very little respect for Tomlin. I look at him the same way I look at Jason Garrett.
I look at him the same way as I look at Bill Cowher. So I think it's been the same thing. I think they're the same guy. In your face. But I don't feel either are tacticians. I don't feel either can come close to, you know, to play Bill, you got to have some wrinkles and you got to X and O it up. You got to give him something to think about and Brady something to think about when he's dropping back. And neither Cowher nor Tomlin, I think, fit that mold. And Cowher was the same thing. You know, win a bunch of regular season games, go in the playoffs, choke half the time. And I didn't think Cowher was a great coach, and he had no quarterbacks. He was, you know, winning with Cordell Stewart and, these guys, going to AFC Championship games with those guys. So in some respect, if I don't think Cowher's a good coach and he never really had a great quarterback, they kind of overachieved.
Yeah, where I disagree with you then is on Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's a big game player. That pass and catch of Santonio Holmes to win that Super Bowl, that's an all-time play. All time.
Against the Cardinals.
And so, and he's not, look, I'm not telling you Roethlisberger's a surgeon, but why do they all have to be surgeons? Why do they all have to be guys that complete 70%? They can be different. He's a little bit of a different mold.
Yeah,
but
big,
he wins.
That big fatso can get out of, you know, being tackled by 3 guys, spin out, and throw a dagger into the end zone. I've seen it too many times.
Okay, again, Patriots tickets coming up at 4:30. I'm going to give you a phrase that you got to repeat to me. I don't want it to be, what'd you call it, Murray?
The phrase that pays here on Felger and Bass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So I want it to be that, but I don't want, can we call it something else? Because that is cheesy. Just hoping for something else. I just don't want to say fifth caller and then you're on. Like, I want you to have to work for it a little bit. You got to listen. You got to listen until we get to 4:30.
The trigger. You got to know the trigger.
There's going to be a trigger. There's going to be a cue. There's going to be something like that.
Code word.
Okay. But to your calls. Here's Seth in Taunton on the Steelers. Go ahead, Seth.
Hey, guys. So I completely agree with you, Mike. I think the Steelers have overachieved based solely on that scumbag, dumb coach they have over there.
So hold on, he's not a scum. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Tomlin as a person.
Stepping on the field to try to trip up the Ravens.
Just stop! I don't think Tomlin's a bad guy.
Anyway, he. I would challenge anyone to give me a singular wrinkle, timeout call, halftime adjustment, game plan that has ever won the Steelers a game under Tomlin. I think he's had a lot of talent, and he's just weighing them down.
Yeah. You know, their talent is in places that I don't believe in. Running back, number one outside receiver. I don't know.
Defense?
Yeah, their defense used to be good. When's the last time they had a good defense?
It's getting better, though.
You know,
I mean, it got better last year.
But I don't know if that's personnel or coaching that's behind the times. The Steelers have always been to do what they do. Blitzburg, 3-4, blitzes, zone blitzes. And, you know, it's like they've always been the same thing.
But they did change it up. What was the year? Who was the defensive coordinator the year they played up here?
So and not
they,
LeBeau, but like his successor.
Oh, my God. Butler?
Yeah, right.
Like
exactly.
Butler.
Right.
And all they did was play zone. And it was just they picked him apart. And my recollection was the next time they played him in Pittsburgh, they played man. So, like, I thought, okay, well, there was some adjustment there, at least a little bit, because Brady shredded them in that AFC Championship game.
Where did Keith Butler go? Don't tell me he went to, was he the Chargers then defensive coordinator last year with that bozo game?
No, I think that was Gus.
Gus Bradley's right.
Right? It was Gus, right. Gus Bradley.
But yeah, this effing computer, oh, my God, I'm going to throw this thing out
the
window.
He's still with the Steelers.
He is still with the Steelers. Yeah. I thought he went somewhere else and you pantsed him somewhere else. But either way... I don't think the quarterback's that good. I don't. John in Worcester. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. I got two quick points, then I'll let you talk about it. So in terms of the last time the Steelers were elite, I think that was the last time that Troy Polamalu and Harrison were healthy and in their prime, and they had that Steelers steel curtain defense. In terms of underachieving and overachieving, I think it's both. I think they've overachieved for the fact that they have Tomlin as the head coach and underachieved in the sense that if they had any other head coach who can make adjustments at halftime, like Belichick can, I believe that they have enough talent to be a lot better than they were. But I feel like once Tomlin's game plan goes out the window, they have no backup plan.
Okay, and it's not just Tomlin, it's Bill Cowher, too. It was the same thing under Bill Cowher.
It's been the same thing since Chuck Knoll.
And Chuck Knoll was the same way. If you want to go back that far, kids, you know, look it up. He was kind of the same way. They just sort of, they've always been super talented. They've always had a mentality. But you get to go toe-to-toe with the Patriots. You got to try and outthink them a little bit. Look at the guys that have beaten you. And it's not many, but Peterson, you know, he put his balls on the table and he had all sorts of wrinkles in that Super Bowl. You have to do that. Coughlin's not afraid of Bill. That mentality was important. And they knew where to attack you and how to attack you. I feel like the Steelers too often, we're just going to do what we have four wide, shotgun four wide on third down. We're going to run the ball. We're going to be physical. We're going to blitz them. And then the coach is going to get up and yell at the refs, pat the players on the ass, and whine to the media. That's what I feel their coaches do there.
I mean, it is generally what they do. But again, if we start using Belichick as the standard, Mike, everyone loses.
I understand that. But
everyone loses.
I've just given you 3, 4, 5 coaches that I've said at least, have made it difficult on you at times. Where would I put Mike Tomlin? I'm just going to give you coaches, and you tell me whether they're ahead of Mike Tomlin or behind Mike Tomlin on your list.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
So Belichick's obvious. Where would you put Pete Carroll?
Ahead.
Ahead.
Where would you put Andy Reid?
Ahead.
Ahead.
Where would you put Sean Payton?
Ahead.
Ahead.
Where would you put John Harbaugh?
Ahead. Ahead.
Where would you put Doug Peterson?
Ahead.
Behind.
Where would you put Sean McVay?
Behind.
Okay. So then, Murray, you tell me who else other than Belichick, Carroll, Reid, Payton, and Harbaugh. Do you have Tomlin sixth or do you have someone else in there?
No, Tomlin's like fifth to me.
Well, that's six, according to what you just said to me, sixth.
Okay. So, yeah, everyone else is still behind Tomlin.
Okay, so hold on. So Murray has him sixth. Maz has McVay and Peterson ahead of him, as I do. So now we're at eight. Maz, would you put Frank Reich ahead of him?
Yep.
Okay. I want to put Frank Reich ahead of him. I do, too.
So this is, again, you know, this is how I did it. Who would I want coaching my team?
Right.
That's how I looked at it.
Okay. And I have a whole list of guys that I want to put ahead of him, but is that being unfair? Because Frank Reich has coached 1 year, went to one playoffs, and is 1-1. But I feel like
he has a clue.
I feel like he has a clue.
And he made mistakes, too. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I'd take him over Tomlin.
How about Mike Vrabel?
No.
Ahead.
Yeah. I want to put him there, too. I want to put him there. Is that being unfair to Tomlin?
This is recency bias on your guys' behalf.
It might, Murray, you're right. It might be. I'm just telling you that if you ask me today, right now, who would I take as a coach, Tomlin or the guys that we're naming? When I did this list, Tomlin came in 13th.
I was going to say, Jesus. Well, hold on. How about Mike Zimmer?
Ahead.
Oh, please.
So Zimmer, I don't. Okay. How about Nagy in Chicago?
Ahead.
I want to put Nagy ahead of him, too.
Too soon.
I think those are, now Vrabel's not. So maybe that's my personal bias, but Nagy and Frank Reich, I think, have a clue to get something out of their quarterback. I think when it comes to Mike Tomlin and his quarterback, he watches them. And that's about it. Ron Rivera.
Behind.
Bruce Arians.
Behind.
Doug Marrone.
Behind.
Okay. So you have him 13th because you put...
I put Gruden ahead of him.
You put Nagy, Reich, man, Vrabel, Jesus, and Gruden. I didn't even have him on my list there.
I put Gruden ahead of him. I'd rather have Gruden than Mike Tomlin because I think there's a chance that Gruden actually has a clue.
Oh,
so
that's offensive to me.
This is what I'm asking. Is this unfair that we have Mike Tomlin, who is the second winningest coach? He's the second winningest coach. Active winning percentage in the NFL. Bill Belichick is number one with a 680 winning percentage. Mike Tomlin is second at 654. Second all-time active winning percentage among coaches. He's second. And we have him 13th, 14th, 15th on our list behind guys like Nagy. When I forgot even his first name.
Matt.
Matt Nagy, Frank Reich, Mike Vrabel. We've got him behind guys. Matt has behind John effing Gruden, for crying out loud.
Dude, if you give Gruden Roethlisberger, Gruden would win more than Tomlin did. I'm telling you, I think the thing that saved Tomlin is the quarterback. That's what saved Tom. What does Tomlin do? Tell me what he does.
He pats the guys on the ass. He yells at the officials. And he whines to the media.
I mean, I just look at him and say, with the players they've had there, they should have won more.
They must be doing something right. So I'm just, look, I don't believe in the coach, so I'm telling you. I'm just sort of asking rhetorically. Are we being unfair? Second highest active winning percentage among head coaches is Mike Tomlin. And it's really not close. Belichick, 680. Tomlin, 654. Guess who's third? Guess who's third? That's why I asked you about this guy. Bruce Arians is third at 619. Mike McCarthy is fourth. I had him as active, even though he's not, because he'll be back. McCarthy's fourth at 618. Sean Payton is fifth at 615. And I just added one more. Andy Reid is sixth at 611. So Mike Tomlin is one more than Arians, McCarthy, Payton, and Reid. And we take them all ahead of him. We take all sorts of one-year guys ahead of him. We take Mike Vrabel ahead of him. Is that unfair?
No, it's not unfair because, again, what is the definition of a coach? It's being able to get the most out of your talent. Tomlin has had a ton of talent.
Yeah, but at least he's won. You put Gruden ahead of him, please.
Gruden's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, a million years ago.
So what?
Let's pick this up on the other side. Here's what's your name again? Big Jim Murray's update, then we're right back.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the desk squirrel down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the lefty's 0-2. Swing and a miss. Foul tipped to the mid. Castro holds it, and that's the ball game. And the Red Sox miss an opportunity to gain ground. As they fall here tonight by a final score of 6-5, Minnesota taking game one.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. I just want to mention it because I did engage last night in the Red Sox. And it's rare for me to get pissed off about the Red Sox because I'm generally not like rooting for them. You know what I mean? I'm not my fan, you know, just not a team that I'm a fan of. I want them to do well for business and the show and everything. And so, that's where I am with the Red Sox right now. I'm sort of willing this comeback and willing this run because I think it would be a lot of fun.
Sure would.
To see the Red Sox try and come up from behind and get really hot here at the end and catch these teams and get a wild card game from out of nowhere. Because I think, you know, I've lived here 31, 32 years now, and I can't really remember a time, except for the year I moved here with Morgan Magic in 1988, where the team came from behind and went on a run in September, and we had an honest-to-goodness pennant race. Maybe that year Bernanski caught the ball in the corner against the White Sox. What year was that? 90? So that was like a pennant race. I sort of remember that. I remember running into the building and, you know, where they used to open up the doors. Whatever. I mean, it's story time. But I'm just sort of, I think there's been very few pennant races here over the years because of the wild card, and you're usually in it by now, or it's 2011 and you're collapsing, and that's not the kind of pennant race that, you know, we're looking for. So I'm just sort of willing this thing to come from behind. And it'd be a really great story and a nice little side topic for us to have here on the show. So I'm rooting for the team. And last night really kind of pissed me off. It really did.
It was that kind of game.
Effing Porcel blow, okay, sucks. And why is Cora bringing them back? Well, they have all these bullpen games, and it's all hands on deck, and he brings them out for the, I sort of lost track, was it the fourth, the third, the fourth, or whatever, to give up the fifth and sixth runs.
Yep.
Did you see the home run that fella hit to center field?
Sano, yeah.
Almost knocked over the wall.
You don't see many go up there.
Holy crap, I've never seen a ball up there. I didn't even realize there was a catwalk up there. That thing was...
I mean, that's relatively new, but keep going.
Is that right?
Well, I say relatively new. I'm talking about in the last, you know, in the like 10 years.
Okay, I've never noticed a thing up there because I've never seen a ball go up there. And holy crap, was that thing throttled. So why is Cora leaving him in so long when it's all hands on deck? And then they claw back into it in these late innings. They have all these chances, runners in scoring position, chance to tie the game or go ahead, and it's bets up. Every time he pops up, draws a walk, dribbles back to the pitcher on those in the fifth, seventh, and ninth innings, I want to say, with runners in scoring position, a chance to tie or go ahead. He gags. Hard for me to get on Devers because he did hit the three-run homer in the fifth, but he comes up in the seventh and the ninth, pops up, strikes out, runners in scoring position, chance to tie the game. I feel like the manager gagged on the pitcher, and I feel like the middle of your order gagged with the game on the line at the end of the game, and it kind of pissed me off because everyone lost last night. And you had a chance to gain. It could have been four games showing up today. Little momentum, little something, little side topic to have for September. I want that for the show. And it sort of pissed me off. And I don't get there very often with the Red Sox.
That one stung last night, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah, good. Serves you right for buying in on these losers.
I'm not buying in.
You bought in.
I'm not buying in. I haven't written them off like you have, but that doesn't mean I bought in.
The whole year's been that.
But I'm rooting for them to make it within two to three games, and then there's like that's sort of a cool thing. You've forgotten that's sort of a neat thing to have an actual pennant race.
So the way it went for me last night was, well, here you go, Porcel. Of course, the game means something now. You get a good team in town. Porcel gives up a run in the first inning.
Just keep him in though.
And then before you know it, it's 6-0. See, I didn't have a huge problem with him staying in, and I'll tell you why. All they're doing is pitching relievers now every game.
Well, so?
So at some point, somebody's got to give you five innings. Somebody's got to give you five.
Not him. Not
I mean, especially
playing.
When you have two starting pitchers, him and Eduardo Rodriguez, and that's it.
All hands on deck. Yank them.
Like, so that was one thing. And then they got it to 6-4, and I went, ooh, geez, if they were to pull this one out, that would be pretty
yep.
good. They didn't. Of course not, they didn't, because that's them. They've been that way all year long.
Oh, that freaking pissed me off. That did. Millennial loser Sally's.
And Betts, the two at-bats you're talking about, because I think he walked in the seventh.
Did he hit the ball hard all night? I missed his first at-bat or his first couple. The last, he drew a walk on one of them. I can't remember if there was anything to hit in there. But he had Jackie Bradley on second. Then he had Jackie Bradley on third. Walked. So, I can't really blame him there. But he came in the fifth, seventh, and ninth.
He had hittable pitches, too, if you go back and look.
So I didn't. I should go back and look.
He got a fastball right down the middle
gag.
Of the fifth.
Gag. And... damn, that pissed me off. Because, I don't know, it is a chance to be a little bit of a story there if the Sox come out of nowhere and make this interesting. And I'm sort of rooting for that. So anyway, there's just a little Red Sox thing. You want to weigh in, you can. We're mostly focusing on the Steelers. And how come I think they all suck? Why do I feel like the Steelers have overachieved? I'll tell you why. Because I don't think the coach is any good. I think the quarterback's overrated. So if I don't think the coach is any good, I think the quarterback's overrated. How can I say they've underachieved? They've actually probably won more than I would give them credit for. Or that I would think that they would. Am I being unfair to Mike Tomlin for having him out of the top 12 in the NFL? Maz has got him behind John Gruden. Is that unfair? We'll pick all that up.
13th.
On the other side. And again, we're giving away Patriots tickets at 4:30, but you have to listen because we're going to give you a phrase that pays.
A phrase that pays here at Felger and Maz.
Okay? You have to listen because I'm going to prompt you at 4:30. We're not just going to pick you up and give you the tickets. You have to answer a question to something that we have said on this show, and I'll tell you what it is at the time. It's not like a trick question. I'll tell you what it is coming up, okay? Oh, by the way, in the meantime, I'll give away another set of tickets for something else coming up right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Or did your radio went out, your communication?
That's always the case.
Here?
Yes.
Well, you're saying that every time you play here, you have radio.
I said what I said.
Like what exactly happened? You just didn't have any communication?
We were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast for the majority of the first half on our headsets.
The coach to coach or the coach to quarterback?
Coach to coach.
You mentioned the frequency of communication problems here. Is that something you've experienced in any other place where you guys have played?
Guys, I'm answering questions regarding what happened in that stadium right there. So if anybody's got any more questions about what happened tonight, I'd be happy to address it.
That's a very serious thing that you're indicating, that they're all...
I'm not indicating nothing. I'm telling you what happened.
So you're saying there are always problems here.
Guys, let's talk about what happened in that stadium tonight, please.
Can you say anything to Belichick about it?
No. Shoot, that guy's coaching his team. I'm coaching mine.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk.
It's kind of hard to take him seriously, you know what I mean?
So many things.
He claims he lost that game because Zoe was in his headset? You know, I mean, really. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's my predisposition as Mike Tomlin after that 2015 season opener. It's just hard to take him seriously. What can I tell you? So we all remember that. We all remember the 2015 opener. They were still asking about it yesterday. I'll play that sound coming up. But come to think of it, so I've told you again, the phrase that pays. So that's it. You just heard it. Billy, what is it again?
We were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast.
Okay, so when I give away the tickets at 4:30, I'm going to ask you what was in Tomlin's headset in the 2015 opener. You have to answer that question correctly. If you do, you get the tickets. Okay? Simple enough. Could not ask a simpler question. It's not even a trivia question. It's there it is, right there. What was in Tomlin's headset in the 2015 season opener? Billy?
Can we play it again?
We were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast.
That's it. Simple as that. How corny is that, Murray?
It's the phrase that pays.
Okay, there's the phrase that pays right there. And I'm giving away some other tickets here in a few minutes. But I listened to all of Tomlin's press conference last night because this is just what I do. Instead of like, I don't know, you people go home and watch like a TV show or something or do you have a life? I go home and I listen to the opposing coach's press conference because that's just how chronic I am. And it's, again, sort of, it feels to me like he's just there to say the coach cliche, yell at his players, complain to the refs, and go home. I don't feel like Mike Tomlin now. This is why I don't feel like he's involved in game planning. I don't feel like he really talks X's and O's. When I watch him on the sidelines, I don't ever see him talking to his defensive coordinator, talking to his offensive coordinator. I barely see him on the headset, like talking in between plays. Do you know what I mean? Like,
of course. You don't actually see him coaching the game.
I feel like he's just sort of a bystander there, yelling at the players on the field and not really interacting with the coaches or
in any sort of huddle or any sort of game plan. I just don't see it. I mean, maybe I'm not. So, but I just think he's there for the sort of the coaching cliche. Like, I'm just going to give you a few examples. This is just from last night. These are all from one press conference. Billy, are you ready for me? So here's, he's asked number three, Billy. He's asked about the new weapons in New England and the new receivers that Tom Brady has to throw to.
Mike, if they change much year to year, do they change much year to year, or they just come out and do what they do?
I think they change relative to the weapons at his disposal. And they work to highlight the talents of those that he is working with. So, you know, if you have red paint your barn red.
Right? You've got red paint, you paint your barn red. If you had purple paint, you'd paint your barn purple.
Exactly. Pretty simple concept.
He was asked about his nose tackles. What's the big nose tackle's name?
Hargrave.
Okay, who's good, right? And he's asked about his nose tackle and his nose tackle coming along and him staying on the field and what he needs to do to stay on the field. Give me that one, Billy, number four.
I thought he had a solid performance in camp and in the preseason. I like how he continues to add to his portfolio. I often kid him, you know, a nose guard is like Blockbuster Video. He better diversify, you know.
No, I don't. I didn't even know what that meant. I had to figure what I had to think about that.
Well, I know exactly what he meant.
What does he mean?
That if you just stay the same in this day and age, you can't just be a run stopper because it doesn't work that way anymore. That's how Blockbuster went out of business.
You can't just rent DVDs.
Only, right. There's one Blockbuster, I think, in the world, and it's in Alaska.
So
it's a sucky business. There was no, it wasn't a very good business model.
Okay. Yeah, you get a stream.
So being a nose tackle is like being Blockbuster Video. You need to diversify. What is this, Colin Coward now with like these analogies?
Metaphors.
I like this one too. He was asked number five, Jimmy. He was asked about Roethlisberger not having receivers this year who are chirping in his ear for the ball. He doesn't have Antonio Brown anymore and Le'Veon Bell and these guys. Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. And has that affected Ben Roethlisberger positively? Here's what Tom said.
I haven't been around a good receiver that doesn't the ball. You know, I'm sure Juju Smith-Schuster wants the ball. I haven't been around a top flight wideout that doesn't want the ball. So, you know, forget what they said.
You mentioned but perhaps not putting lots of vocal pressure on Ben. Is that affecting Ben in any way?
Give him time.
Which I thought was actually a funny comment, an honest comment. All these guys are chirping for the ball. And then she follows up and says, well, maybe not like some other guys. And he says, give them time, because they will. Like, that was sort of funny and honest. But he's just sort of like, I enjoy listening to him because he's
entertaining.
Entertaining and cliche and
No, and sometimes he actually answers the question. I mean, there's information sometimes in his answers. It's not like mumbles down here at Foxborough.
Right. Well, when you got red paint, you paint your barn red. He was asked, number six, Jimmy, Billy, sorry, number six, about even though his players always lose at Gillette, I guess the players have said that they really like the Gillette atmosphere, and they like that. You know, they talked to him about this reporter about the Minutemen and the atmosphere. And even though they lose at Gillette every time, they like going to Gillette. So Mike was asked about that.
That doesn't surprise me at all, man. Like, cooks like to be in the kitchen. You know what I mean?
So this is what I feel like he does. I think he's just got the cute coaching cliche 101. He works the refs. He gets in his players' faces and is motivational. And that's just sort of it. I don't know.
No, listen, you're preaching to the choir. I told you, you want to talk about Tomlin discussion. I tell you, I think Mike Tomlin is, again, I think he's astonishingly mediocre. That's how I look at him. I think he is as average gets as a head coach. Tell me what he does. What's his specialty?
I'm motivation. And I think, I feel like.
Communication, maybe?
Yeah, right. Generally, I think his players want to play for him. And it's sort of it's a old school kind of football player's mentality.
Yeah, we're going to beat you up.
Yeah.
He's a good motivator.
And it's sort of consistent, and I guess he motivates or gets guys to buy in. I don't feel like the Steelers, I think Roethlisberger's given up, personally, like his physique and his conditioning. I feel like he's given up. But generally speaking, you don't watch the Steelers and say they quit, you know?
They fall asleep a lot, though.
Well, they're sort of, they're sloppy, right? They're definitely sloppy and not attention to detail and things like that, but the quote-unquote effort is, you know, the physical effort is there. The physical effort is there. I don't know about the mental effort.
No, I'd be willing to bet he's a good communicator. Because, again, just listening to him, he gets a message across. It's colorful. It's entertaining. So he can probably tell guys the truth without them getting pissed off.
Okay. So, Billy, once again, we're giving away Patriots tickets in an hour and a half. But when you call, I'm going to ask you what was in Tomlin's headset that opener in 2015. The answer is,
we were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast.
Okay.
So it's the term that reaffirms.
There it is. Okay. I don't know how much more corny you can get than that, but whatever.
It's the slogan explosion.
I'm going to give you tickets in the meantime. Here's some WWE tickets. Caller 10. You don't need a phrase that pays. Caller number 10, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to WWE Raw coming to the Garden November 18th. Don't miss Universal and Tag Team Champion Seth Rollins and U.S. Champion AJ Styles. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com and the Garden box office. No commercials, just an update for Murray, and then we're back.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. People, great service since 1928.